Where's that suitcase? Let's turn this thing around. We've got everybody talking all over town. But if you have to leave, well, keep one thing in mind. Oh, this one's gonna hurt you for a long, long time. There's a bottle on the table to help me understand how love can go so wrong between a woman and a man. But just beyond.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Both Donald Trump and Kamala Harris campaigning in key states today. The former president this hour is in California, later in Nevada. Harris holding a rally tonight in Pennsylvania. The election now less than 2 months away. On New York's Long Island, Justin Timberlake entering a guilty plea to an impaired driving charge in a deal to resolve that case. Police stopped him in June, saying he ran a stop sign and failed to stay in his lane. Outside court in Sag Harbor, Timberlake took responsibility.
I found myself in a position where I could have made a different decision.
Timberlake must also pay a fine and perform community service. Due to the deadly listeria outbreak tied to Boar's Head Deli Meats, the company says it will permanently discontinue sales of liverwurst and also close its meat production facility in Virginia linked to that outbreak. The New York Times reporting 500 union workers will receive severance and a chance to relocate. Nine people have died in the multi-state outbreak and at least 57 have been hospitalized. This is ABC News. NFL star Tua Tagovailoa is being urged by some former NFL players to retire after suffering his third concussion during a game Thursday. Here's ABC's Lara Spencer.
Tua taking a brutal hit to the head. His hands appear to seize, an immediate sign of neurological trauma known as fencing, rolling on his side, holding his helmet.
I was just worried about my guy. Not something that you ever want to be a part of. You know, you hope not to.
Former NFL star Dez Bryant saying, that's it. The NFL has to do the right thing. Tua has had entirely way too many concussions.
Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel did not give a timeline for Tua's return, saying their focus is to get him healthy. Police in Denmark have charged a 29-year-old man with 86 charges for reckless driving. That after an invalid permit stop in May uncovered dozens of offenses. The man had filmed himself on his helmet. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
Feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You might wonder, John Legend, how do you keep your voice sounding so legendary? Honey. And how do I keep my protection against COVID-19 up to date? With a COVID shot this season, designed for recent variants.
You can get your COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC.
The fresher, the better.
Ask your healthcare provider about getting this season's COVID-19 shot when getting your flu shot.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The State Elections Commission is seeking just under $2 million to boost confidence in state elections. Republican Commissioner Don Millis says it's incumbent upon the commission to investigate and make sure there's no problems with elections.
The idea was to have available to the staff the resources to do these things to increase confidence in the election administration and the election process. That was really the genesis of this proposal.
If approved for funding by the legislature, the new office within the commission would focus on election integrity, such as audits and voter accessibility. Respiratory illness season is right around the corner, and the Wisconsin Department of Health Services encourages you to get vaccinated. Immunization Program Manager Stephanie Schauer says DHS hopes to improve on last year's numbers.
Last year, we saw about 35% of Wisconsinites received an influenza vaccine, which is pretty low. And similarly with COVID-19 vaccine, the rate of uptake of the 23-24 was, I think, about 19%. So we certainly have a long ways to go in making sure that we are well protected.
An updated COVID-19 vaccine and a new annual flu shot are now available. A decision may be near regarding a contested pipeline project in northern Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin DNR has released its final environmental impact statement on the proposed Enbridge Line 5 segment relocation project. The pipeline between Superior and Michigan's Upper Peninsula is 71 years old, and a portion runs through reservation lands of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, which along with environmental groups wants Line 5 shut down. The relocation project is supported by a coalition of business, agriculture, and labor groups. Enbridge will need to secure permits from the DNR and Army Corps of Engineers before work can begin. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
One in four people age 65 or older has a fall each year. Don't be one of them. The Pepin and Buffalo County ADRC is presenting a Stepping On workshop, an evidence-based workshop that focuses on fall prevention tips and tricks. Participants hear from experts on how to identify and remove fall hazards. Stepping On can help you avoid a dangerous and costly fall so you can keep doing the things you love to do. Classes meet weekly for 7 weeks, starting September 18th in Pepin. Call the ADRC of Buffalo and Pepin counties to sign up or learn more about this free workshop.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the low 80s. Showers and storms are possible tonight, lows around 62. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, 77, with a chance of showers and storms. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, 63. Mostly sunny Sunday, highs near 83. For Monday, chance of showers and storms, a high near 82. Tuesday, mostly sunny at 82. Currently, 72 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovia, Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And hogs are looking pretty stout as well. We'll check in with the markets at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, I've got a jam-packed show lined up for you, beloved listener. Presidential debate, rates, consumer trends, labor disputes, grocery prices, Russia, farm bill, nukes. And can I make a confession real quick? I'm honestly thinking about eating my neighbor's cat. Live from Friday the 13th, because why wouldn't it be? Via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk this morning. It's our Friday free-for-all with panelist Jim Wiesmeyer, and we welcome Tom Sell from Comvest Sell. Later, we'll catch up with Farm Journal's College Roadshow with Purdue University's Brenna Ellison, professor of agribusiness management. Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm outstanding broadcast host Davis Michelson. So glad you are along for the ride this Friday morning. Didn't I tell you? There's all of these guests in addition to all of these matters of subject of note to discuss in this morning's show. Once again, I say, how are we going to fit this all in an hour? We're going to get Agra Crowbar and get her all fit in there. It's going to be awesome. Thank you so much for being here with us. You know, we talked with Jim Wiesmeyer. Oh, I don't even remember what day the debate was. The day before the debate earlier this week to just a little bit of debate prep. What should we look for? What is he expecting? What, you know? Hey, let's talk about the debate that's coming up. Well, here we are on the other side. It was quite the show, if I do say so. And I'm curious, you know, honestly, all I want to do is get Wiesmeyer and Sell just going at it back and forth on this debate stuff. We'll probably start there. But, I mean, there's stuff with Russia. There's stuff with grocery prices. We got labor disputes, and it sounds like the West Coast might be sneaking in. Like, hey, you know what? If they're going to strike from Boston to Houston, we want in on that too. Lots to talk about today. And, you know, it's Friday the 13th. Welcome, everyone, to Friday the 13th, because as I said, why wouldn't it be? Well, you know what else? We've got, we're catching up. Farm Journal's College Roadshow. They were at Purdue University. Brenna Ellison, Prof of Agribusiness Management is going to, you know, I'm curious about her experience with the students coming back this year. We've asked other professors about this. I think we spoke with someone over at Iowa State about it just a few weeks ago. And, so I'm curious what's up with the students? What are they interested in? And, you know, just sort of what Brenna hopes to convey to the students this year. So, that'll be interesting too. That'll be in our fourth and final segment. For the moment, we need to get to the news, which begins with the National Weather Service outlook. Hurricane Francine will continue to weaken while bringing a heavy rain and flash flood threat to the southeast over the next few days. Above average temperatures will develop across the central U.S. and northeast, while below normal temperatures persist in the southeast and west. Hurricane Francine expected to kind of dissipate today. However, it does continue to produce heavy rainfall across the Delta and the southeast. We talked about, you know, the S&Ds for cotton, and even soybeans. Mississippi was slated, I believe, to have a record soybean crop this year, and Francine may have something to say about that. We hope everybody comes out unscathed, but the reality is what it is. We do have a USDA daily export sale to report here. 100,000 metric tons of soybeans to China during the 24-25 marketing year. As of September 12, low water levels on the Mississippi River have forced barge operators to reduce draft limits and tow sizes, particularly affecting grain shipments. This according to USDA's grain transport report. Drafts have been cut to 9.5 feet on the Ohio River, 10 feet from St. Louis to Greenville, and 10.5 feet from Greenville to the Gulf. Tow sizes are down by 14-25%, leading to transit delays of 1 to 2 days. My maritime vocabulary is pretty light, but draft is the amount of the ship that's in the water, basically, in or out of the water. And so they're reducing how much of these vessels stick down into the water because of low water levels. One of the ways that you do that is by taking weight out of the vessel. So that means smaller shipments running up and down the river. Retail and transportation leaders warn that a looming dock worker strike along the U.S. East and Gulf Coasts could negatively impact Kamala Harris's presidential campaign. The International Longshoremen's Association has threatened to strike if contract demands are not met, with West Coast port unions pledging solidarity. Air Canada requested Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's government to step in as contracts negotiations with its pilots have reached an impasse, risking a shutdown of operations next week. That's at Air Canada. Traders this morning raised the odds that the Fed will lower its prime lending rate by a half point at next week's meeting after the Wall Street Journal and the Financial Times reported that some central bankers consider a quarter percentage point cut insufficient. We will definitely talk about that with Wiesmeyer and Sell coming up here. The U.S. federal government's fiscal year-to-date budget deficit. Oof, this is... Budget deficit hit $1.9 trillion in August, a 24% increase from last year, driven by interest payments totaling over $1 trillion for the first time ever. The U.S. national debt currently stands at $35.3 trillion. Russian President Vladimir Putin threatened retaliation as the United States and U.K. prepare to discuss allowing Ukraine to use Western-supplied missiles to strike targets inside Russia. A meeting is set for today between President Biden and UK Prime Minister Starmer. Could pave the way for Ukraine to use British-made Storm Shadow missiles and possibly U.S.-supplied ATCAMs on Russian soil. We'll talk with all of this and more with our panelists today, but for now, let's bring in Jennifer Scheich. Good morning, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. What is going on in Denver with the slaughter? This is crazy. I can hardly believe this.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think it's easy. There's just so many things going on all over. It's easy to lose track of this, but there is a ballot initiative that's going to be taking place here in November in Denver, within Denver itself, where they're trying to ban slaughterhouses. In the prohibition of slaughterhouses would outlaw basically the construction, maintenance, or use of meat processing facilities in Denver. And this affects Superior Farms. They're the only meat processing facility there. But it's an example of how these activist groups are trying to get these ballot measures on and just slowly but surely try to stop animal food production. And so we've got a story up on Pork Business that goes into more detail about it and also shares some information from a study by Colorado State University that really does look at the economic impact that this would cause, which would be significant because this processing facility is one of the is in one of the poorest parts of Denver, but also provides a lot of jobs in Denver, but also to industry beyond. So really interesting what's going on, but also cool to see chefs and industry stakeholders joining together to try to like make grounds to stop it. And there's a lot of work that's being done with Stop the Ban, Protect Jobs. And they're raising money and trying to fight against this.
Well, and yes, I love that some of the chefs and other food industry folks are speaking out about this, because it's not that they're banning meat in Denver. They're just banning the slaughter of meat. So now they got to truck all this meat in from who knows where. And guess who gets to pay for that? That's the consumer. Yeah. Jennifer Scheich, keep an eye on this for us, would you?
Will do.
Love it. Jennifer Scheich from Farm Journal's Pork. All right. There's nothing between you and me and the Friday free-for-all. Well, about 10 seconds of time and then a quick commercial break. But Wiesmeyer and Tom Selt, we got to talk about the debate. I don't know. What's the story on this Denver thing? We may have time for that as well. I don't know. It's AgriTalk.
At Beck's, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Beck's. Founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit beckshybrids.com.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute. Hey, can I rethink this? ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be...
Compere Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compere Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compere.com. Compere Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. No. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk. You're flying the plane, sir. Excellent. Diving into the Friday free-for-all. Your pal Davis Michelson here on AgriTalk. So glad you've opted to spend some time with us.
You are not going to want to miss this one, my friend. First, you know what? No, let's head fake. Let's bring in Tom Sell from Combest Sell. Tom, good morning. Welcome back to AgriTalk. Dude, it is great to have you here on the free-for-all. I don't know how we're going to get through everything, brother.
Oh, man, it'll be fun. Let's get after it whenever you're ready.
Right on. And let me bring in Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy OG. Good morning, sir. Great to talk to you again.
I'm here. Ready to go.
Okay, now.
No questions in advance. No questions in advance.
There were none either.
Today, baby.
Radio silence for the record, beloved listener. Radio silence heading up here. So I don't know what these guys are going to say. Anything can happen here. Jim, the last time we talked, we were talking about the debate that was not yet completed. We're on the other side of it now. Let me just open it up broadly to both you and Tom. Jim, maybe you want to start. We had the debate this week.
It wasn't really a debate. I think that there were just losers, the American public, and not winners. And the more I read the transcripts and rewatched it, the more upset I got. Trump didn't do a good job. He didn't fulfill what he wanted to do for the future. And Kamala Harris really dodged left and right. And there are charges, and I agree with them, that ABC moderators were clearly biased in how they challenged Trump but did not challenge Harris. We need to know more from these candidates, and we're not getting it. That's my bottom line.
Yep. Tom?
Yeah. You know, I have some of the same sentiments as Jim, certainly. I would love to have a deep, substantive, policy-oriented debate. On the other hand, was there really anything unexpected about this debate? I mean, did we learn anything new about either of the candidates? I mean, you know, Donald Trump was Donald Trump, you know, bombastic, loud, self-centered, and got into a little bit of policy about just how great things are going to be. And we've seen that for 4 years. A lot of people predicted the end of the world when he was first elected, and it didn't happen. And there was actually some great policy. But he was the exact same Donald Trump as he's been in the Biden debate earlier a couple of months ago. That was, you know, it's not like he really won that debate. It's just that President Biden underperformed so badly. And he was just like he was in the debates from 2016. So in one way, it's kind of like, yeah, there wasn't really anything new here. Certainly, Vice President Harris showed her ability to articulate issues well. If you watch enough just kind of memes on Instagram and other things, you might think that she doesn't have an ability to craft a cogent sentence, but that's just not the truth. I mean, she is a very talented politician, and she certainly showed that. So I think that's why a lot of folks on that side are excited and consider it a win. But in terms of deep policy, you know, what did we really learn? Man, there wasn't much, and I hate that.
Yeah, as do I. Jim, how would you handicap the odds for a second debate? Last I heard, Trump wasn't interested.
Well, you never know with Trump. So that's why I would say that even though if he feels that he needs one, he'll change his mind. He's done it before. I don't think it's laid in concrete on that one. But it would be interesting where it's held at. Who does the moderating? I think we need far better moderators now on any future one. And again, a bottom line to me was the independent voter, where they moved, and most of the focus groups I saw, they really weren't they didn't declare great quantity Harris as the winner, and I think that was very telling.
Well, and I wonder if you can address something for me, and I don't mean to be critical of Madam Vice President, but I need to be honest here. There were points when it just sounded like she was just scolding Donald Trump, and the sound of that scolding voice, that kind of rhythm that she would fall into. Jim, sometimes it just made me bristle. Has there been any talk that maybe she changes the tone, or is the sense, hey, finally somebody's got, you know, Trump on a spit, just, you know, let him spin?
Tom?
That's tough to comment on. I mean,
it's a tricky question. I understand.
It is tricky. You know, she tried to kind of play the hopeful, optimistic, you know, President Obama-ish kind of, this is a new future, this is a new generation. I thought she was pretty successful in that. There were definitely some kind of scolding in the side eye looks. And even the unmuting of mics was, was really kind of an interesting turn of events, after they thought they had it agreed upon in another way. So there were definitely, I mean, I don't think anyone looks at, that's not a debate you watch with your kids and say, kiddos, that is a great way to behave. That's a model for you and me. Unfortunately,
here's democracy on parade for you, young people.
She had a strategy to get under Trump's skin, and she did in spades, and it worked. Yeah, and it diverted. It allowed her to be on offense. What, about 80% of the time, I would say, in the debate, and that was her strategy, and it worked.
Coming out of it, I'm a lot of the numbers that I've seen, if either candidate's approval rating or, you know, support moved, it was in tandem in the same. I don't know that it necessarily changed anything.
No, most debates don't. The Biden was the exception, and I think as the weeks go on here, we're going to see that if there is any bump, it won't be lasting. So we're going to see how they sell themselves in the waning weeks, you know, going what, less than eight weeks, I guess, 56 days or whatever it is.
We're coming up on it.
But it's these key states, and they're going to have to hear some actual answers to some of these topics, and so we're going to see which candidate does it.
I think that's right. It's going to be incredibly close, and you have to kind of boil it down to the policy. And by the way, Jim Wiesmeyer, just to give you a good plug, did a great job of putting out, and also to give the Farm Bureau a plug. They did a great job with this kind of series of questions to the campaigns about where they stand on matters that affect farmers and ranchers in the rural economy across this great nation. And the answers were, you know, Farm Bureau did a great, faithful job of publishing those. So now we have something in print. And man, I would encourage all the listeners, find Jim Wiesmeyer's article where he links to it all. You know, there's a lot of good information in there. And those are the kind of issues that will need to be discussed in detail.
Agree.
All right. Just real quickly, what do they need to do moving forward to sort of, I don't know if recover from this debate thing, to gather some momentum here? Jim?
Well, Harris thinks she has the momentum, but she says she's the underdog and she likes being there. And that's really just to get more and more voters to vote. Again, not a bad strategy. But they need to answer some key questions. As far as Trump, he needs to throttle back. Don't get on these conspiracy type odd topics, okay, and it just waters down in like a flood his message. And if Trump is Trump as far as the issues, he's got a story to tell, and he's got to draw Harris out to answer the key question that started the debate. By the way, you know, Miss Vice President, are Americans better off now than they were 4 years ago? She totally did not answer that. He has to draw her out on that.
I've gotten the news here. I pulled from your copy, Jim. U.S. consumers experienced some relief in grocery costs, particularly online. Online grocery prices down 3.7% in August. That's a pretty decent decline since Adobe began tracking in 2014. Hey, you know, they threatened to install price controls on groceries, and what do you know? Online grocery prices dropped 3.7%. Can they hang their hat on that one, Jim? Or at least
are they
gonna
try? They will. That's online, and online really, really went up because that's an additional service fees on that. But the trend in food costs are going their way. That doesn't mean that they're down from what they were, you know, before they started rising. But we've got lower interest rates now. We've got, and it's going to go through 2025. We've got a lower food prices. Gas prices we've seen significantly lower, but still way above what they were when Biden first entered the office. So it depends on your perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. And lower food prices are also a bit of a function of farm prices. And we all know the great, you know, tragedy that's playing out in rural America right now is the crop prices have gone not 3.7%, but down about 40%. And there's a brutal cash squeeze going on in our cash flow squeeze going on in rural America right now. That was, you know, a lot of groups got up to DC this week to kind of raise that issue relative to the farm bill and the need to get a farm bill and a bridge kind of bill done this year. So lots going on that front.
Wow, Tom, what you've done there is built us a bridge into the next segment. I think maybe we'll start right there. Keep your train of thought, buddy. We'll be back. I'm going to talk to Brian Grady about these markets, and then we're back with the free-for-all on AgriTalk.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone. And Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination. The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now. Let's go further together. Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
When it comes to farming and family, the most important thing is laying down roots. Hey, it's Matthew from Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi, and we want to help you grow your roots. From planting to harvest, we can help you lay your foundation through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and great service. We know how to help because we know Bluff Country. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of strong roots in the community and the relationships we build. So plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. October milk up 23 to 24.05. November up 28 to 23.46. December up 19 to 22.29. January up 7 at 20.84. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly lower. There was some weakness in some of the cash markets, some steady to a dollar lower. Also heading into the weekend as well, the trade just said, we're going to try and get out of the buying interest here and take some profits. Hog markets moving mostly lower. Again, really no support coming from pork cutout or cash values as well, along with the weekend has led to lower prices. October live cattle down 77 cents to 177.25. September feeder cattle down 85 cents to 241.20. October hogs down 32 cents to 78.57. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade today, corn markets were moving up mostly higher, getting some strength from some of the wheat markets. Wheat markets moving mostly higher due to some attacks on cargo in the Black Sea, and that has the trade now starting to put some premium back into the markets due to the war in Russia and Ukraine. Again, corn markets following suit, moving mostly higher. Soybeans, though, little harvest pressure starting to creep into the soybean markets today. New crop 25 corn up 3/4 to 446. New crop 25 beans down 4 3/4 to 1055 and 3/4.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
No need to O-Needer. What's going on here on AgriTalk? We got the Friday free-for-all Tom Sell and Jim Wiesmeyer. Tom Sell from Combest Sell. I'm going to bring you back in because you were getting fired up on the farm bill there just a little bit before the break. Let's stoke that fire. Talk a little farm bill with us, please.
Well, you know, this farm bill was supposed to be done in 23. They ended up kicking the can. And a lot of good work. Hearings and all that were done in the 23 calendar year. And at that time, the farmers came in talking about the need to update the safety net. Didn't get it done in 23. Some work in 24, particularly got to highlight G.T. Thompson in the House Ag Committee, actually passed a bipartisan bill out of his committee. But, you know, the floor, the overall grander picture in Washington, D.C. is a difficult, difficult place. Every farm bill is different. Every farm bill is difficult. But now we've just got this tremendous pressure that's building on getting something done this year. If they don't get it done this year, before this Congress adjourns, you really start from scratch next year. And no one knows if the politics would be easier. More likely, they only get tougher because there are a lot of other things that have to get done next year. And no one believes the budget situation gets any better, sadly. You already mentioned a $1.9 trillion expected deficit this year. So much pressure coming on this fall as prices are in decline, as the ag economy is in decline. You know, I think I saw the Purdue farm sentiment,
The ag economy barometer.
The barometer. And, you know, everyone is feeling bad about the direction that this is going. And there's this tremendous cash flow squeeze, in part, Davis, because, you know, gosh, from like 17 to 22, we averaged like $30.7 billion in spending for farmers above and beyond the 18 farm bill. This was mostly in the MFP, the trade aid and the CFAP programs. But much of it was when prices were much better. And now we have had the crop prices, especially not the livestock, but the crop prices in an absolute free fall. And there's just nothing. There are precisely zero ARC and PLC payments going out this fall. There's really nothing in the hopper. You know, Secretary Vilsack talks a big game about the use of the CCC, but there's really been nothing the last couple of years. And when you hear Secretary Vilsack talk, he kind of still hits this theme that, you know, the big farmers, those who gross more than 350,000 by his latest speech, 180,000 of those in the U.S., those are the ones who produce 90% of the goods. But he's basically saying, you know, they're okay. So don't expect any use of the CCC. And so it just puts all this pressure on Congress to finally deliver on a farm bill. And that's why, you know, so many groups went to Washington, D.C. this week, from national corn, soybeans, wheat, all the commodities, corn, cotton, rice. So north and south, all the commodities gathered together to just try and explain this current crisis that's in the making in rural America and lobby for movement and a farm bill. And I think they really got a good reception and there's been some good results even this week. You may have seen David Scott, ranking member on the House Ag Committee, you know, put out a very strong statement night before last, saying it's okay, enough political blaming. It's time to go. It's time to get this bill done. That was encouraging to see.
Yeah. Now, Jim, didn't Mr. Scott also suggest, hey, maybe we need to do sort of an ad hoc kind of stopgap thing to get us through till next year when maybe we can think about the farm bill again? Did I read that right?
Absolutely. And that's, I want to hear Tom's assessment of that, because even if you did get a farm bill through by the end of this calendar year, the first farm program payouts wouldn't begin until October 2026. You heard that right. 2026. Yeah. So there is a push for some type of transition program, a combination of ad hoc disaster and financial aid package. And I, you know, Tom, what's your comments on that?
Jim, well, you hit it on the head, and you're exactly right for the reason, you know, and they could relatively easily, whether it's in the farm bill or whether it's in kind of a bridge ad hoc package that might even be attached at the end of this month to the CR. You know, there's this, because of this cash flow squeeze, you know, theoretically, the farm bill was supposed to be in place for the 24 crop year. They could kind of bring in maybe some of the reference prices or come out with a payment style kind of like MFP or something just to get some cash into the countryside. And so that notion is kind of catching fire in Washington, D.C. too right now, which I think is encouraging and needed at this time. Money's expensive. You know, there was the last major bill by Congress was a 22 disaster program, ERP. That was a $3.7 billion infusion, but really only $2.1 billion is out of the door from USDA. They've been so slow and had some problems in the way that they tried to roll this out. Man, you just look at the interest on $1.6 billion that's not in the farmer's pocket that should have been. That alone, at 9% interest rates is a big number, that should have been in farmers' pockets. So, there's a tremendous squeeze out there right now. And I was glad to see the farm groups coming together to try and harness, and pull as a team to try and get this farm bill done.
Absolutely. Farmers from all crops of life, you might say. Jim,
well, I would just go ahead. Want to add one perspective on, you know, last week we had USDA significantly revise up the downturn in farm income for this year. In other words, not as bad as they thought. But when you really dig into it, it was as a result of they were apparently very low on livestock prices, and once they factored those in, the farm income number went up again, still down over the year, but still. But what does that say for the crops? The crop sector is hurting and hurting bad. Wherever I go on my speeches, I'm seeing that. So don't think that this situation is getting better, because it isn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to switch gears just a little bit, Jim. I'd like for you to bring some clarity into this issue. What is going on with the U.S. and the U.K. in regards to the Russian conflict?
Well, as Brian said on the news, you've got this is serious stuff here, because Putin is basically threatening both the U.S. and U.K. If you allow these Western supplied missiles that can strike targets inside Russia, that brings NATO into it, and then we got a real war here. That's what he's saying, and we're going to see. But Ukraine is telling the U.S. and U.K., hey, they need strike capabilities, because they got to curb the Russian assault on their land as well. So we're at a key point here in this war.
Well, and one thing that was really interesting to me in the debate that Trump would not answer, the question was, will you support Ukraine winning this war? Yeah. I feel like the better question was, would you de-escalate this? There are no winners in war. Would you make this stop? What is your plan to make this stop? No. It was, do you want Ukraine to win or not, Mr. Trump?
Yeah.
And I think that's creepy.
Yeah, he basically said he wanted peace, but boy, to get there, how do you do it? You know,
right.
And he was not as forthcoming. But this is a very, very key weekend here. Now they're going to decide the Western allies today.
That's scary, Tom.
So
I remember
it could break. It could break this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I remember back in the '80s, and everyone was convinced Russia was going to push the button any second. I don't want to go back to that world. Tom, your thoughts on the whole matter?
Yeah, that's where I grew up too. And Davis, I like your question a lot better. You know, it's a more appropriate question. What would you do to try and de-escalate the situation? And I do think Trump tried to kind of portray this reality. It kind of just asked a question. Was the world in a more peaceful spot 4 years ago than it is now? And I think the answer to that was yes. I mean, there was maybe more tumult in the U.S. among our press corps that hated Trump so badly, but really in terms of the international outlook, you know, he kind of had a plan and he would execute that plan. Same with kind of the trade deals that affect agriculture so much. You saw his kind of, it wasn't always smooth and peaceful, but it was intentional. You know, this kind of this was art of the deal type of work in the international marketplace, trying to achieve greater markets and a better position for the U.S. consumer and the U.S. producer. And so it does, you know, I think, you know, Trump tried to get to that. Obviously his ways are different from most people, and certainly different from our State Department's, you know, traditional means of diplomacy. But when you just look at the results 4 years ago versus now, I mean, we it's a pretty volatile situation out there internationally. You know, we need to peace, go about our work. There's a lot of challenges.
Yep. Jim, who are our emissaries for peace in this?
For peace in Ukraine, Russia?
Yes. Who are our emissaries for peace? Again, that pause is way too long.
Very murky. Yeah, it's murky. I don't see it. You know, Trump was correct in saying that you got to start talking to peace, but you cannot go backwards and say this wouldn't happen if I would have been president, because I'm sorry, you weren't, and we're into this situation.
Right.
So I think he's half right, but you've got to get a solution to this thing, because now we're at the potential escalation phase here. Oof. And we're seeing, and until I can be proven differently, the Biden-Harris administration's approach to foreign policy issues is not in the top 10 over the administrations that I've dealt with. They're muddy the waters. You're seeing that in the Israel Hamas conflict. You're seeing it now in the Russia Ukraine conflict, etc. So this is scary times geopolitically, no doubt about it.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it right there. Tom Sell from Combest Sell, thanks so much for hopping in here for us, dude. I love your perspective. I love having conversations with you, brother. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, dude. Enjoy being with you. Thanks.
Absolutely. And Jim Wiesmeyer, of course, dude, your perspective is invaluable. Enjoy your weekend, my man.
Will do. Bye-bye.
We're going to head to Purdue University next on AgriTalk.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-785-9545. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-785-9545 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-785-9545 to see if you qualify. That's 800-785-9545.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE, 877-26-BIBLE.
Next, we stand up for the things that matter most, our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us. We work around it and we live around it every day. And we just become desensitized to what's around us.
We go through safety training and, you know, we try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen, but you just never know.
There are so many farmers that I think take for granted all of the underground utilities that are there.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
I mean, we kind of know what's out here, but all at the same time, you just always call.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Whether you're installing drain tile or doing any sort of digging, always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked and have the depth confirmed. That's farming with care. But if a line does get damaged, go somewhere safe and call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. Bex Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BexHybrids.com. Oh, I do feel like singing, but I'm the host. I can't sing if I'm the host. I have to act right. Straighten up! Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here on AgriTalk. We've got one more segment, and we are headed out to Purdue University to discuss the goings-on there with Brenna Ellison, Professor of Agribusiness Management. Professor Ellison, welcome to AgriTalk. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning to you, too.
So you're out there at Purdue, Prof of Agribusiness Management. Tell us what that means. What does that program look like? What does it all include, Professor?
Sure. Well, as you know, agribusiness is really broad. So at least in my courses and things like that, we talk about ag and food issues that go all the way from the farm to the fork. My personal research, I focus a lot more on the fork end of things. And we talk about how households make food choices and that sort of thing. But in general, we're covering the whole spectrum and thinking about marketing and strategy, things like that.
Professor, and we'll get to some of the programs that you've got your hands in specifically there at Purdue University. But, I'm thinking about the current agribusiness climate, the economy, the global economy, the farm economy. Are you this is an economic environment ripe for teachable moments, I would imagine, eh?
There are a lot right now, for sure. So. I think we've got a lot of good examples in all of our classes right now, whether you're talking farm management, finance, or agribusiness more generally. I think lots of examples to be using currently, and trade as well.
Well, and I do feel like the students who come in and are doing their studies within this sort of climate or economic climate, I feel like that might give them a leg up. I mean, everybody can look like a genius when we got $7 corn and $15 beans. Am I right?
Yes. So, yeah, you got to work a little smarter when you're dealing with the kind of economic constraints that we have right now, for sure, and be a little bit more creative. So this is definitely a time where you can find ways to differentiate yourself.
For sure. Well, you've got a lot going on. As I said, you've got your hands in a couple of different things. Let's start with the Purdue Center for Food Conservation and Waste Reduction. What do you got going here?
Yeah, so this is a new center that Purdue and myself were awarded from USDA. And the goal is to help households reduce food waste. So we hear a lot about food waste and it happens all along the supply chain. But households actually waste more than any other part of the supply chain. But they're also kind of the hardest to reach because they all operate a little bit differently. So I have two kiddos at home and food waste happens for very different reasons than, you know, maybe someone else experiences who lives alone or from someone that has, you know, a large household with lots of individuals in it. And so the center really is trying to do kind of a ground up approach to helping households figure out how to reduce food waste and working directly with the communities instead of maybe talking at them.
Well, because there's a financial kickback for one who is able to pursue home economics effectively and efficiently, fair?
Absolutely. So there's lots of estimates on what food waste costs households. So the Natural Resource Defense Council, you know, estimates that the average household might lose anywhere like upwards of $1,000 over the course of the year due to food waste. You know, lots of assumptions go into those estimates, but certainly economic arguments, especially in the times that you were mentioning earlier, are the most kind of convincing to help people want to reduce food waste. Right. But sometimes households don't really want to admit that it's happening, right? It's not like an attractive thing we want to admit to. So we have to get people to be willing to admit that it's happening first and then hopefully motivate them to do a little bit better.
Well, and I don't know if these two items go together, but I also have here that you're involved with a survey, the Gardner Food and Ag Policy Survey, a survey of roughly 1,000 U.S. consumers. What are you looking for there?
So the Gardner survey is a collaboration with some folks at University of Illinois, and we actually do the quarterly survey to track kind of consumer or general public sentiment on different food and ag policy issues. So it's not directly related, but certainly food waste is a topic we can include sometimes. Some of the things that we look at instead are what do consumers think about the food system currently? Like, does the U.S. food system produce food that's affordable, that's accessible? Is it safe? Does it taste good? Things like that. Does it provide healthy returns to actors along the supply chain? We also ask, you know, how much consumers trust different actors in the food system. And lately, we've been asking a lot of kind of ad hoc questions about how consumers are coping with inflation, maybe what they would like to see companies do instead of shrinkflation, as well as, you know, maybe what political party they think is better managed, is better equipped to manage the high food prices they're currently facing.
Professor, I'd love to get to Purdue's Spring Start program as well, and we may have time here, but tick-tock. I'd want to make sure that you get a chance. I know a young man who's a senior in high school, pretty good little football player. He's thinking about college. Give us the elevator speech for Purdue. Why should this young man attend Purdue?
Well, Purdue, both the Department of Ag Econ and the College of Ag, I think the number one talking point is a really high job placement rate. So we have a 99% job placement rate in Ag Econ. And then, of course, Purdue is ranked exceptionally high in the U.S. and globally. So we are well known in College of Ag. And I will say that I've noticed relative to other places I've worked that Purdue students are doing ag on purpose, not because maybe they didn't get into a business school. So I think there's a genuine interest in making big differences in food and ag here on campus.
They're pursuing ag on purpose. I love that. That idea of intentionality. And especially if you're going to be talking to future marketing professionals or ag economists, they've always got to keep that in mind. That's a wonderful concept, Professor.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think that's all the time we have, Brenna. Professor Brenna Ellison from Purdue. Hey, where do we go to get more on what you've got going there at Purdue?
Well, you can definitely check out our Purdue Ag Econ webpage or social media. And then, of course, we have the new Center for Food Conservation and Waste Reduction website online.
I love it. Professor Ellison, have a terrific weekend. Thanks for being on AgriTalk.
Thank you.
That was Purdue University's Professor Brenna Ellison from the Agribusiness Management. Big job there training the next agribusiness leaders. This afternoon, we've got Ted Seifried behind the big green leafy microphone with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net to go through some of the WASDE stuff. I'm Davis Michelson. Thanks for tuning into AgriTalk.
At Bex, we stand up for the things that matter most. Our faith, our independence, and helping farmers succeed. As the largest family-owned seed company in the U.S., we believe in the integrity of remaining an independent family-owned seed company. Since our founding in 1937, we have continued to produce quality products backed by a quality family of employees and dealers dedicated to serving American farmers. And that's something to be proud of. Bex, founded in faith, forged in America. For more information, visit BexHybrids.com.
When it comes to growing soybeans, you need an advantage. And with Citavo soybean seed, you get a big one. 3.4 bushels per acre big. It's a yield advantage made possible by BASF genetics, proprietary germplasm, and industry-leading seed quality. Talk to your retailer today about staying ahead of the game with Citavo soybean seed. Distributed exclusively by BASF.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and